And then our reading from the New Testament is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 5 to 17. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once, when he was serving as a priest before God, and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of God to the Lord their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people preparing for the Lord." We thank God for his scripture.
Join in prayer. Lord, we do indeed thank you for the reading of Scripture and the hearing of your word, and we give you this time. May what is spoken ring with truth, may what is heard and understood be touched by your Spirit, and may what is decided lead us all on towards your kingdom. For Christ's sake, amen. Are you a Bob? Bored of Brexit? Not surprising, given all the shenanigans. Who knows what is going to happen on Tuesday? Who knows what is going to happen after? We need to talk about Brexit. I have studiously avoided talking about it so far, not wanting in any sense to be divisive, and wanting always to avoid party politics. Baptists didn't used to be so shy. Look in the history book. There were very close links between Baptists and the Liberal Party at the beginning of the 20th century. Brexit. I confess I didn't vote in the referendum. Well, I was on my sabbatical, on my coast-to-coast walk, and somehow it didn't really, preparing for all that, it didn't catch on, and I didn't organise a postal vote before I went away. And up there in the beauty and the quiet of the north of England, all the turmoil that was going on down here seemed very remote indeed. To be honest, I never thought for a moment that the country would vote against would vote to leave the EU. But I began to notice that something was happening on the night before the vote in a country pub in Yorkshire when I overheard these farm workers talking about how good it would be to be freed from the common agricultural policy. We need to talk about Brexit. Never mind how much we want to keep the church a Brexit-free zone. Never mind how much we want to ensure that all are welcome in this place. Brexiteers and Remainers, all are welcome. We can't carry on as if we have nothing to say, that Christianity has nothing to say about the most important thing in our national life, arguably these last 50 years. We can't, can we? We need to talk about Brexit on this second Sunday in Advent, when the heart's desire is Zechariah and Elizabeth's, a desire for an end to barrenness, Hannah's and Elkanah's heart's desire as well, as we heard. Back then, even more than now, barrenness, childlessness was seen by many as some kind of failure, a mark of God's displeasure. Not, I guess, though, in the circles in which Hannah moved, or Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were God-fearing, devout people. They were always to be found close to the temple. They were always to be found whenever the talk was of God and of his ways and of his will, and one of the clearest signs of God's ways and God's will was children, new life, hope. But I guess when they talked of such things, Hannah wept her tears. And when they talked of such things, Zechariah and Elizabeth just went on praying and, what was it? It said, getting on in years. I know how that feels. Year on year, we watched as families around us, our friends, started families. Before coming to Bristol, I ministered in Leicester through a baby boom. 15 or 16 babies born, I think, during the 10 or so years that I was there. We tried all sorts of treatments before eventually, and very happily, choosing to adopt. But believe me, I know about barrenness. All those years with no children, when most people we knew were having children. Oh, I know it's complex. I know that many wish for children. I know that plenty choose not to have children. And plenty of children bring heartache. One has spoken with numerous parents who have occasionally said, I wonder how life might have been if we hadn't have gone through all this. Today, there are more options than ever. I don't for a moment imagine that today barrenness is anything like barrenness was for Zechariah and Elizabeth, Elkanah and Hannah. But maybe barrenness is a way of talking about Brexit. Now, I need to be very careful here, but I wonder if it feels to Theresa May that the last few years have been quite barren, and as if this coming Tuesday will be a kind of birth, an end to barrenness. For those farm workers, for lots of trawler folk around the coasts of Great Britain, for thousands of others who have not prospered in the UK for years, either because they are unemployed or else they are trapped in very underpaid work, Brexit promised an ending to barrenness. New trade deals, taking back control, No more money to Brussels. Fewer immigrants coming over here and taking work, housing, healthcare. Equally, I am sure that the fears, or behind the fears of many Remainers, lies a concern about barrenness. Poverty already may be getting worse on into the future. I know that's true for me anyway. There we are. I've nailed my colours to the mast, having carefully avoided doing any such thing these last couple of years. Though for me, this was never about economics. It was and remains about coming together in a dividing world, not drifting apart into more and more division. Barrenness in Advent, Brexit in Advent. The waiting, the longing, the impatience, all Advent themes, and the heart's desire, Zechariah's and Elizabeth's desire for an end to barrenness, for new life to be born, for a new deal to be voted through. We need to talk about Brexit because we dare to believe that the barrenness of our world, of our lives, is close to the heart of God. And if our heart's desire is for an end to barrenness, then it seems reasonable to assume it is God's heart's desire as well. Are you feeling barren in a barren world? Barrenness isn't about childlessness only. It's about things like poverty and austerity. And also, even if materially you have plenty, well, there is something that has been called the fatal cramping of the spirit in the Western world. Put very well in that hymn, spirits oppressed by pleasure, wealth, and care. Look at the huge gap between the bright smiles and the conspicuous consumption in the Christmas advertisements for Aldi and Lidl and John Lewis and Marks and Spencer and all the rest. Between that and the experience of many folk who will be facing a lonely Christmas, a stressful family life, vacuous present giving, too much to eat and drink, mounting debt in the new year. We need to talk about barrenness in Advent, about Brexit in Advent, ahead of Tuesday, whatever the outcome of the vote in Parliament. I suspect that one outcome will be more uncertainty, delay, dissatisfaction. Maybe ahead, more barrenness. That's the Advent theme. But not barrenness for its own sake, not wallowing in misery or fear-mongering, not always looking on the dark side of life. Heart's desire, we're calling it this year, try and avoid overusing some of those words like longing and yearning. Heart's desire, Zechariah's and Hannah's. A desire for an end to barrenness. The Christian thing to say about Brexit or anything else, never mind what happens on Tuesday, never mind what happens in March, never mind what is happening in the Yemen or the Ukraine or Saudi Arabia or anywhere else, actually, mind a great deal about what will happen on Tuesday or next March or in Yemen or, for that matter, the Ukraine or Saudi Arabia or anywhere, because God minds. That's the Christian thing to say. God may not be giving us a straightforwardly Christian way through all this, but he minds very much that the barrenness of our lives and of the world should end. And when it ends, Zechariah was struck dumb. Elizabeth cried with praise. Hannah cried because, as it says, the Lord remembered her. Sometimes, Brexit is an example, it seems as if we have been forgotten. I recall in the midst of barrenness feeling as if I had been forgotten. I wonder if that might be the one Christian thing that we have to say to a barren, uncertain world: we have been remembered. That's the cry of Advent. I hope it will be the experience of many this year. In their loneliness or destitution or straitened circumstance or confusion, or in the fatal cramping of the spirit in the Western world. Don't put all your hope in princes, the Bible says, trade deals, negotiations, remain or leave. Pray and do what is right and wait for God's own time. He knows our lives. He knows about the barrenness of our experience. He knows all the confusion and the uncertainty around Brexit. And he has remembered. He's sending Christ because he has remembered.